Hello, friends, and welcome back to another, welcome back to another version of verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Hope it gets better from here. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of the Wash and Word hand car washing business in Church Hill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. There we have the hand car washing business, which is what we use to earn the money that it takes to support this ministry and, of course, to support our family. So we ask that if you would like to support this verse-by-verse radio ministry or the verse-by-verse Bible teaching which goes forth, you can simply come by and patronize our business, and that alone would be helping to get the Word of God out there. We are going to go ahead and pick up where we left off in the Gospel of John. We are in chapter 15, and Lord willing, we'll finish this chapter today. And so if you do have any questions about this ministry or about the business, we encourage you to go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, and there you can find out all the information about this business and about this ministry. You can also listen to and download all of our archived audio messages there as well. We encourage you to come by the Wash and Word, and if you're in the parking lot or you're out there, you're eating your pal's lunch, you can flip to 107.1 FM during open business hours, and we play these messages on a loop, and they transmit about as far as the parking lot. All right, picking it up in chapter 15, verse 18. We're going to look at the subheading. It says, "The world hates the disciples." So today we get to talk about hate a little bit. But first, let's read the scripture. Verse 18, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of this world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you? No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teachings, they will also obey yours. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me since the beginning." Let's stop right there for a minute. That's the end of the chapter, and we'll see if we can get through this in one teaching. It might take a couple, but let me start off by saying this. The world does not hate you. They hate Jesus. The world hates Jesus, and if you are associated with Jesus, then you are what is termed guilty by what? Association. I personally hate abortion. And I can hate that because God said that we should hate evil. But now I must confess a weakness to you. Because of my hate for this particular evil, I find myself oftentimes hating also abortion doctors, hating abortion supporters, hating abortion pro-legislation, hating anyone who is pro-choice. But I know through God's word that I am supposed to hate sin and not the sinner. But I often struggle with this. Like I said, it is a confession. You see, you could put 50 people into a room and the world would have no problem with God. You can bring up God in that room of 50 people and probably not have too much of an issue or a debate. But the moment you mention Jesus, that he's the only way to God, then they begin to scurry around as if you were to kick an ant pile and watch all these people wandering, you know, scurrying around trying to buck what it is you just said. I think a fire alarm or a bomb threat couldn't empty a building faster than bringing up the name of Jesus. Jesus said in verse 25, "They hated me for no reason. But what did they, I mean, why did they hate him? What did they hate him for? Well, John 10:32 gives us an example, or at least a hint. Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" So even back then, we see that there was no reason that the people hated him. There was no reason that they wanted to stone him. There's no reason for this hatred that the world has against Jesus and thus against you. Or is there? I mean, all Jesus did was heal sick people, feed hungry people, and free captives. This is a reason of to rejoice. But we see it all too often. Otherwise, good, nice, and peaceful people begin to burn with anger at the mere mention of his name. To me, that alone proves there is a uniqueness about Jesus that no other person or false deity can receive. No other foundational religious foundation or foundational leader, whether it be Muhammad or Joseph Smith or, you know, Buddha or Confucius. I mean, you just go on and name. None of them have that same dividing power as Jesus. And that alone, that uniqueness, has to account for something to be said about the name of Jesus. It is the only name that causes that much division. Taking those same 50 people in the room, and you mention Buddha or Muhammad or Obama or Oprah, whatever it is, you know, you name somebody and it's not going to cause that kind of division. And unbelievers, pagans, will tell you that they have good reason for the hate towards us and towards God. And that's because of us, because of our judgmentalness, or the way we bring guilt into their lives, this biased mentality that we have, the exclusiveness of being a Christian and Christ being the only way. Remember in our last teaching, Jesus said that he would never ask us to do something that he was not willing to do or hadn't already done. Well, that goes for persecution as well. Philippians 3:10 says, "I want to know Christ," this is Paul talking, "and I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Jesus wants his followers to know in advance that following him is going to mean persecution and the world is going to hate you. And friends, this is an aspect that is left out of so many pulpits today. And it is a sad truth that there are countless congregations that are being fed week in and week out a Bible light, a Christianity light, and they are not receiving the hard teachings that properly equip the saints of God to handle what is coming down the pike, or to go out and serve the Lord effectively, or to be a warrior for the kingdom of God and to stand for the truth that this world is bucking against. Listen, being a Christian is no Club Med membership. You ever been in a situation where you ask the question, what if? You know, like, what if I'd just done something else? Or maybe the word is, if only. Oh, if only I'd have done this instead of that. Well, that can be applied to so many things, the if question. And just consider all the ifs in just the few verses we read a few moments ago. In verse 18, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind it also hated me first." Verse 19, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own." Verse 20, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute only you also." Same verse, "If you obey my teachings, they will obey yours." Verse 22, if I had not come. Verse 24, "If I had not done among them what no one else did," and on it goes, all of these ifs. And when you consider all these ifs, well, these are different kind of ifs. These aren't regretful ifs. These are ifs that are already done. These are ifs that are non-conditional. You know, these are ifs that Jesus is saying. This is why you're going to experience that which you are going to experience. Which leads us to the question and answer to why does the world hate Jesus? He tells us in verse 22 and in verse 24. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty. And in verse 24, if I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. That is why the world hates Jesus. Because of the things that he said and the things that he do have convicted them and has made them guilty. Prior to Jesus saying these words, they were in their sin with no problem. But Jesus came and made their actions sinful. They were already sinful, but he made them aware of the sin. And for that, they hated them. It was the things that Jesus said and the things that he did which caused people to hate him. Listen, the world should not hate you for the things that you say and do. The world should hate you for the reason you say them and do them. Back to verse 26, it says, when the counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, and he will testify about me. The most important thing to remember about witnessing for Christ or testifying for Christ is that witnessing outside of or apart from the Spirit of truth is futile. We cannot witness for God or witness or testify for Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's just a natural human witnessing, and it has no power. Remember John 15:5, we read a couple of sermons ago. I am the vine, and you are the branches. You must remain in me. So everything we do and everything we say comes from the Holy Spirit for the sole purpose of glorifying God. And we can only glorify God through Jesus, and that through the Holy Spirit. If you were to ask me today what I think the biggest problem with the church in today's society is, I would say to you that there are too many pastors and teachers and Christians who are too worried about giving the reasons why they say and do things. Now, obviously the first part of that is true because it is love in word and action that leads people to Christ. It's not the word and the action that's the problem. I mean, no heathen or worldling or pagan or unbeliever will hate you for paying them a compliment with your mouth or helping them change the flat tire with your hands. That's not the problem. The problem is we don't want to insult. We are too afraid to offend or cause discomfort. So when they ask us about our faith, we generalize and we tell them because God is love, or do unto others as God wants, as you'd want them to do unto you. And God wants to bless you. And we say nice things and we do nice things so that you can see how much God wants to prosper you and give you your best life now. And God this and God that. And that is why we so many say and do the things that they say and do. But listen, nice things said to nice people doesn't make hell any nicer. Friends, we need to do the things that God has called us to do, and we need to give a bold reason as to why we're doing them. Because apart from Jesus Christ, you have no hope. That is why we are reaching out to help you. That is why we are reaching out to have a friendship and a relationship with you. It isn't so that God can bless you with this, that, and the other thing. Nice things said to nice people doesn't make hell any nicer. Think about things like bread and fish and cookies and eggs and popcorn. All of these things still exist, but without salt, they are bland. Something is missing. And that's something that is missing in today's Christian service to the world that is dying is Jesus. We are leaving Jesus out. I see it on billboards and I see it on church marquees everywhere. You can't find the name of Jesus in a church bulletin half the times. We are leaving out the salt that makes the message powerful and flavorful. And God help us when we come to judgment and we see how much we were afraid to tell them why we do what we do. Because Jesus Christ. That is the answer. Because Jesus Christ. I'm going to pick this up where I left off because I'm just getting started. So join me tomorrow at 8:30 at WMCH or come to the Wash and Word. Have a blessed day.